commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I am your host, David Pruse. You're in my house, but I'm your host. Yeah. And if you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, in my house, who I'm hosting... Yeah. Is Representative Will Stapps, Area District 31. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, David. District 32.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. That's East Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and most of Badger Road, west of North Pole. So,
you know, Will, overall, from the representatives we have in the interior, you're the worker bee. You're the worker bee.
No.
If you need to get something done, bring it to you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I guess, you know, I'm a little sheepish there on comments.
You weren't expecting that from me, were you?
No, I was not expecting. That's how you opened the show. No, I've always worked hard, guys. You know, it's a product of, I would say, my life experience. I enjoy working hard and doing things, right? That's kind of always my motivation. It's kind of why I ran for office in the first place, too. So
let's talk about your latest accomplishment. Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, thanks. I have a third child. His name is Atlas, my first boy.
Yeah. So you went big name.
Big name.
Strong name.
Yeah, well, Mayor Ward has McKinley, right?
I know, so this is a new child week on the show.
Yeah, new child week here on KFIR. That's nice.
So tell me about your son.
He is a very strong, healthy boy who eats a ton, you know.
Oh, poor Naomi.
I tell folks he was born with back hair, right? So hopefully he'll be nice and manly, you know. So.
Oh, my goodness. So, done with your first legislative year. You're already known as a person who gets things done, works at it, works with all. And yesterday you had the interior delegation with the Mancho Group. How did that go?
It was good and productive, I would say, overall. So I had to jet out about 15 minutes early. So it was on Halloween, and I had to bring my two daughters, and they were decked out in their princess dresses. And, you know, if you have young kids, like I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old daughter, you will know that Halloween is like the Super Bowl for young kids, right?
It is. So we saw 1,000 young kids yesterday at City Hall, and the wonderful princesses, like, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Super Bowl. It's their big holiday, that and Christmas.
Yeah, it's the Super Bowl. So I was supposed to leave at 3:30. I didn't leave till 3:40. And
you were getting heck from the kids.
Yeah, you could hear in the back of the room that my 5-year-old was starting to get very impatient, right? Because she was watching the clock like a hawk. So
reminds me of her dad.
Yeah,
and her mom.
Yeah. But no, it was, you know, we met with, you know, the folks, AHA folks, Alaskan Safe Highways, who basically, are upset over this Ken Rossush Black Gold Contango trucking project. So just give folks an update. The trucks are on the road and they're making deliveries to Fort Knox, right? So basically the ask from the organization to the folks from the interior delegation was that we take some sort of action to pause the project until after the improvements that are on the STIP and that are funded through main IJA funds, most of them, not quite all of them, are on the STIP yet, but until those are all done, and those are not projected to be done until 2029 or 2030.
So that if was all kind go, of, if all goes well.
Yeah, if all goes well, right?
So they're wanting to pause this for 6 to 10 years.
Yes, that but would that, be that's the
where you
assessment.
That's where you start to pause it. You know, whenever I come across someone wanting to delay something, if they're delaying it so long where it's stopped.
Yeah, well, I don't want to misconstrue their objectives, you know.
Their objectives is to stop.
Yeah, so they wanted to say the word pause, right? So I'll put it that way, right?
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, so, you know, and that's obviously a very contentious issue in the community with some of these folks. So brainstorming kind of how they would fulfill that objective, like what we would do. So some folks discussed, you know, pulling the IJA funds from a lot of these projects that are on this transportation corridor. And of course, I don't think that is a good thing to do for a variety of reasons. Reason number one. Would be.
Well, Fairbanks, we're back. And boy, I got upper management in here now yelling
at
me because,
how to press
because I didn't press a button correctly.
I think might have been turned off too. But yeah, you can't press buttons to save your life.
But
sir.
Guess what? I came in here and I was very discombobulated because the board was all misconstrued again.
Oh, geez.
You have people coming in here messing with my board and I have to concentrate on it and I didn't go to that button.
Your conditions are just so bad for you, aren't they? They're just so bad. We treat you horribly.
I'm with North Korean equipment.
Oh, man.
I'm in a purple padded room. You know, it's always something. So Fairbanks, I apologize. We're back. I have Will Stapp in the room with me here. I have Hot Brown overseeing operations because there's that one button that boy. And I was doing really good this morning until that moment. So Representative Stapp is in the room with me, and we have representative of David Prue's supervisor, Melissa Burnett.
The boss
in the room
is going to sit in now.
And what we're talking about was the Man Show project. Let's go from the beginning. You had a meeting yesterday.
Yep.
It was supposed to last, and it went longer. And the objective of the group you're with is to stop the project.
Yes.
They're saying pause, but it's stopped.
Well, I mean, I want to be fair to the folks that we met with. So a couple of things. So I don't know if the meeting went longer. I had to leave a little bit early, about 15 minutes, mainly because it was Halloween and my daughters had obligations. And I mentioned a little bit ago that... you know, if you have young kids, like I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter, Halloween is like the Super Bowl of holidays, right?
So, we had 1,000 kids at City Hall yesterday.
Yeah. Wow.
So we met with the folks, Alaskans for Safe Highways, you know, to listen to them and hear kind of what their objectives were. And to kind of summarize the ask was to basically try to put a pause on the Orhaul trucking project from the Moncho Mine to the Kinross Mill. At Fort Knox.
And it's already operating.
It is already operating, right? As I think last Saturday, they delivered the first gold packed truck up the highway. And the ask was to pause the project until completion of all the upgrades to the road on the STIP, right? And that the projection of that completion is 2029-2030. So that's kind of my accurate interpretation of kind of the ask of the meeting. So,
they wanted to remove funding from it.
Yeah, so there's like a lot of different aspects were discussed on kind of what action they wanted their interior delegation legislators to take. Somebody brought up the kind of the just pulling funding from a lot of these projects. So
and the projects is not the Man Show, it's road upgrades and road maintenance.
Yeah. So I kind of described that as two things, you know. So this is kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face, I guess.
Funding is allocated. So all they would do is they're not if you pull the funding, someone from Anchorage is getting more funding in their district.
Yeah, so it's a little complex, but it basically is IJA funding, which is that it's on a time clock, right? Mm-hmm. And DOT has a rating for the projects that they fund based on the STIP. And the northern region historically has kind of been cash starved for projects. And last session, we got a lot of money through these IJA funds to do a lot of these upgrades. And a lot of these upgrades that weren't funded last session, they're going to have capital allocations for them next session. And again, mainly is IJA funding, which has got a time clock. On it, right? So kind of my argument is, okay, well, if you want an individual from the interior to pull the funding from one of these projects, what will likely happen is, you know, the sharks in the water will smell the blood, and they will happily kind of do that and reallocate those federal
funds.
To their
areas.
To their own areas, right?
To Anchorage, not to Fairbanks.
Yeah, yeah. You should always kind of expect that in an environment like this. So politics is like really interesting at the state level, right? Because you have the typical kind of Republican and Democrat. They're all Democrats. I don't care if they call themselves independents, right? Minus maybe one or two. But, you know, there's also regionalism, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you live in the interior, and we see this all the time, and it doesn't matter if you're Republican or you're Democrat from Fairbanks, when you get down to Juneau or you talk to your counterparts, there is a huge South Central bias mentality, right?
Mm-hmm. So
what typically even trumps the political divide is geography, right? And, you know, the way I always kind of describe it is, hey, you know, South Central Anchorage basically is like the kid on the playground who skins their knee, and then they call the life med flight to medevac them to Seattle over that, right? So any type of potential issue that you have down in South Central or something like that, it's a full stop, full court press. Everyone wants to take action. Yeah, which you kind of saw with the governor's latest announcement, I think, with the Cook Inlet gas royalties, you know.
Yeah. So. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I have Melissa looking at me like I should be doing it now.
I'm here watching you, sir.
Yes, it's not good. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
I am so glad you told me that Silver Gulch is open. We went last night, and am I glad that we did. One of my favorite items was on the menu, the grilled blueberry pork chop, and it was as good as ever. We also had the mussels, and they were terrific.
I love mussels and cannot wait to try them.
You won't be disappointed.
Silver Gulch, yes, they are open Wednesday to Sunday from 4 p.m., just a short drive from Fairbanks in historic downtown Fox. Silver Gulch, where the people are unusual and the beer is unusually good.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Save on stuff you really need and stuff you bought for fun. Stuff you've always really wanted this holiday at Amazon. Stuff that is discounted if you're naughty or you're nice. Stuff to buy your grandma who drinks her Chardonnay with ice. Stuff to make you big and strong. Stuff we can't name in this song. Stuff for lawns and decking halls. Save big on stuff at Amazon.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with highs around 30. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance of snow. Lows level off around 20. Chance for snow again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 28. Overcast skies. Mid-20s Friday. Low 20s by Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Back in the studio with Hot Brown.
Yeah.
Upper management. Making sure I do things right.
Mm. Well, if it wasn't for June, I wouldn't have even known. So thank you, June.
Yeah. And Will Stapp, Will, District 32, you're the go-to guy to get things done in our interior region, you and Click Bishop. You're the representative that really, in 1 year, you've established that you can get things done. You understand the fiscal ramifications, the inner workings, the hidden mechanisms, all the budgetary items. And you answer to everyone. It's just not your district. You work with everyone.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you.
Thanks. You know, I don't know if I'm entirely deserving of all the praise, but...
You are.
I work hard. It's kind of a product, I think, my life experience. You know, I've worked hard my whole life, so... And, you know, I enjoy working hard, enjoy getting things done. It's kind of why I ran for office, so...
Now, you're in the studio with a member of the city council and a member of the school board.
Yeah.
Now, the school board member, she's just cracking her knuckles. She wants to talk about school funding and the ramifications of a new contract going into place.
Well, I mean, this is going to be kind of a very disheartening conversation, right? I mean,
but it has to be done.
The way this started was actually really funny. I got a call from Will Stepp yesterday. I answered my phone. I said, "Representative, how are you, sir?" And he goes, "Let's talk about education funding."
Well, what was the term he used?
What was the term you used? Incompetent.
Yes.
Incompetency.
Today's the term of the day is incompetence.
So, you know, I mean, so we've been working really hard in the legislature to kind of ensure that, schools have an adequate funding increase.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult ask, and we're getting close. So I had actually recently met with our business administrators at the school district, and when they told me the size of their new deficit after the contract, I about fell out of my chair.
Yeah. $7 million.
Well, and keep in mind, like, the increase that we are slated to give the district from the state level would be the largest in history.
Yep.
Right? Largest history increase in BSA. And if the borough funds the district to the maximum, which they currently don't, they would still have, I think it's over $20 million deficit.
Over 30. It would be over 30.
So basically,
Fairbanks, if all the good sticks line up as
perfectly.
Best they could, you still have a $30 million deficit.
Yep.
So how many schools are you looking at closing?
So we haven't put that out public yet, but just know it's coming. I don't want to say that for sure right now because it's...
What else you got?
Exactly. What else do we got? I mean, it's here it is. It's we are looking at school closures. It's been proposed. We have already discussed it, at least two. I mean, how else do we get out of this? And then here's the other part of it. So I remember the meeting where April, we were talking about the contract, and April Smith said, "Do you want your job or do you want a raise?" That was pretty much what she said. She lined it up with, "Do you want your job or do you want your raise?" And the whole room went, "Oh, I can't believe she said that." Right? Which, okay, at first, sure, if you don't really listen to what she's saying or pay attention to what's going on in the district, sure, that seems shocking. Like, she's literally telling you, you can either have your job or you're going to get fired. Like, that, you know,
Laid off. Cool.
I can see where the would be.
Here's the reality of it.
This is where we're at. $57 million. We gave the teachers, it was like 0% and a $1,500 stipend, and then we did a 1% in that first year, and then we did 3%. In years 2 and 3. 3%. 3%. That's 3%.
Coming in this year.
Look, this year. That's this budget.
And then next year.
So $57 million this year.
Deficit projected.
Yeah. So not only will we be looking at closing schools, we're looking at laying off teachers, we're looking at minimizing, probably contracting custodial. I don't know where this goes.
So we'll step on the finance committee of the state legislature, calls you up to talk about incompetence.
Incompetence. And, you know, here's the thing. We voted, right, on this contract. It was 4-3. And
you're the only survivor of the three.
I'm the only survivor. And, you know, the whole time we sat there going, guys, we can't afford 3%. Absolutely, our teachers deserve the world. Absolutely. I want to give our teachers everything. Absolutely. I think our teachers are
You'd rather have them give a job, though, than
But
a raise.
I'd rather have them have jobs. I'd rather our children be able to go to school with low class sizes. And that, my whole fight to keep our class sizes low, well, that's gone out of the water. So
the political decision is going to be made, which schools do you close?
Yeah.
You guess where you're going to go after? Military.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Eielson.
Mm-hmm.
Artie Klein. One out in either Salcha or out in
Two Rivers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Because those are...
Yeah. Well, and then we're back to, do we close a middle school, right? Like, we did the numbers before. Yeah,
Tannenau's
the one that goes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, this is real. This is real. That everybody screamed at us and yelled at us, and people are like, you need to treat your teachers fairly.
So now you have a person, you have Greer Hopkins, who's on the negotiating team for FEA. Now he's running for the borough mayor.
Yep.
And this is the guy who put in place the raises that are going to shut down schools.
Pretty much.
You can connect those dots right there.
Well, and our superintendent didn't do much to stop that either, right? Like, he could have been a stronghold too and been like, look, we can't do 3%.
Yeah.
But the response that came when he called me, our superintendent called me and said, I want to know where you stand on this. Here's what I'm thinking. And he ran it all by me, and my jaw dropped, and I said, are you sure this is the route you want to go? Because what happens when we do our budget in a few months and we're in debt $50+ million? And his response was, we will cross that bridge when we get there. Well, guess what? Here we are.
Yeah, and I, for you know, for the record, I don't like to use terms like incompetence lightly, right?
No, not at all.
And when I say I was shocked, you know, because I, you know, we're going into a new legislative year, you know, we will probably have the first actual BSA increase in the last decade.
Well, it's election year, of course.
The most BSA increase.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, this hasn't been done a long time. You know, we're in negotiations with the governor to see if we can fulfill his kind of cons. And, you know, everybody wants well-funded schools. So I'd like to hear from my school folks that, oh, by the way, we spent all the money that you haven't given us already, plus double.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other word that describes that. And it's very sad. And people are going to be very upset when their teachers get fired and their schools closed and their class sizes go
up. BSA we need to make up for this, and this will just barely keep us floating, is at least $1,200 per student. $1,200 increase to the BSA per student right now, that's what will help this.
Which is,
that's not happening.
Well, it's a little less than double what is being proposed, so just to let folks know. So, but anyways, that's depressing. I want to move on to something else. Like not to.
No, you're good. That's, I just wanted to get that out, and I wanted people to be aware of that because this is a real thing. So.
Yeah. I mean, not to be Debbie Downer here, you know.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be very unfortunate, and people are going to be upset, and most folks aren't going to know until here in a few months. And
well, this is the board that Fairbanks wanted, too, so here we go.
Yeah. So where did you go trick-or-treating after you saw me in my
Riverview.
Vampire Lounge?
Riverview.
How
and
was
I,
Riverview?
I made it down Coppet, around Riverview, up Park Drive, had two full bags of candy, and I said, I'm done.
Mr. Stapp, where did you bring your five-year-old daughter?
Oh, we did a couple things. So we did the Doyen event. We did there's another event at Light, and we did a little bit of Riverview, and we did some Island Homes.
Oh, Island Homes is good.
Island Homes is an easier one. So it's a little less crowded than Riverview, and the candy's just as good.
Yeah.
And there's more houses per square foot.
Well, here's the deal. So I went down Coppet and up Riverview and up to Park, right, because I wasn't going into Sunset. That wasn't happening.
Yeah.
I was not going anywhere inside there. I was staying to the outside, and it was crazy enough.
You know, at City Hall yesterday.
That was great, by the way.
It was.
It was really great. You guys did a great job. I had a really hard time deciding what my favorite department was. I chose the Vampire Lounge, of course, but I had a hard time with it.
Well, we didn't win, so tell me how you really felt.
No, I really did vote for the Vampire. My daughter voted for Mario.
Crush your daughter. The Mario brothers won.
Yeah, she voted for
that. Yeah, and Fairbanks, it's hard to describe what the trick-or-treaters got to experience.
Yeah.
They got to experience different haunted, different genres.
Yeah.
You know, in the Vampire Lounge, had two caskets. You know, we're all dressed up as, you know, Elizabethan English vampires,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we had lots of candy. I mean, there's lots and lots and lots of candy.
Well, what was really
by the time you got through the Vampire Lounge, you already had three people giving you candy.
Yeah, I had like half a bag full.
Yeah, then you go around us and you have this like haunted hallway, you know, with these like, you know, it's like the Scream Master coming out and scaring you, you know, and there you got more candy.
I just wanted to say, I think a politician dressing up like a vampire is very appropriate there.
Quite appropriate.
Quite appropriate.
Then you went down the hallway away from us, and you had the Hogwarts school.
Yeah, that was cool.
Then you went down the stairway, and you had this long hallway, and you had the Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
And all these racetracks and everything like that. Then you had the building department. They're giving out candy. You had the peanut M&M station people at the clerk's office giving out candy. Then you had the engineers department, and they were the dead zone. You know, all these, they were great too.
Yeah.
So by the time everyone got done, we were beat. I mean, we had two emergency runs for more candy.
Wow.
I mean, two emergency runs for more
kudos
candy.
Kudos to you guys. That was a really good job.
And at 6 o'clock, man, we were... It was it. We were done.
My friend in Riverview had 553 visitors, so you had more than her.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're going to have some Fox News, state news, some commercials, some weather, and we'll be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
There has been an uptick in anti-Semitic threats around the country as a result of the war in Israel and Gaza. The Attorney General Merrick Garland says he's directed U.S. attorneys and the FBI to work with law enforcement to keep communities safe from targeted violence.
The Justice Department has no tolerance for violence or unlawful threats of violence fueled by anti-Semitism or Islamophobia.
The Anti-Defamation League says the number of anti-Semitic incidents nationwide has increased 400% in recent weeks. Congress is divided on how to fund security in Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy talked about whether to package all this aid together. He was on the Fox Business Network.
It does allow better coordination. On the other hand, there are those who wish to have them separated. I think they'll end up being linked, but we'll have to see.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell wants to keep aid for Ukraine and Israel bundled together. America's listening to Fox.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
An Alaska state agency faces a new backlog in processing applications for people seeking food stamp benefits more than a year after it first fell behind in recertifying applicants. The Anchorage Daily News reports the current backlog of new and returning applications totals about 6,000. The director of the State Division of Public Assistance says the backlog was created after resources were focused on clearing an older backlog in applications from Alaskans who in some cases waited as long as 11 months for benefits from the federally funded Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. The state has also resumed interviews and income verifications that were waived as part of the federal public health emergency related to the pandemic. We knew that alone would also create probably some additional delays because it's additional work that the team is needing to take on, said Cara Durr, Chief of Advocacy and Public Policy at the Food Bank of Alaska. The state reported in August, a year after the delays first began, that it had cleared the original backlog. Officials blame that backlog on things like staffing and technology issues within the state
Streaming
health
live
department.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
The Hungry Robot is your 50-50 Friday offer of the week. Taste their passion for pizza, pepperoni, chicken bacon, buffalo blue, J-Popper, spicy Islander Supreme, and so much more. Check their menu online. All baked in the Hungry Robot's wood-fired brick oven. And all half price for 50-50 Friday. Just across from the Mattress Ranch on Old Steese. Look for their big wood-fired copper ovens. Pickup and delivery. Visit thehungryrobot.org. The Hungry Robot. Wood-powered passion for pizza.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
So, you thought your rig was ready for winter, didn't you? Yeah, and then this.
That ain't right.
Better get it over to Pearson Auto. Let their trained certified techs take a look. Could be something simple that keeps your car from running properly in these cold, brutal temperatures. It's what they do. In their clean, state-of-the-art shop in North Pole off the Ridge and on Airport Way across from Pikes. Pearson Auto even provides a loaner car if it's something not so simple. Home of the oil change for under $40. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Cruz in the studio here with Will Stapp, probably the most important legislator in the House.
Oh, geez.
That Fairbanks has, really. You know, you're the one who gets it done, buddy. And appreciate you every day. Appreciate you coming in and sort of explaining to Fairbanks what really happens. And now we have a new one, and the governor came out with a proposed subsidy, non-Cook Inlet taxation.
Yeah, no royalty leases for Cook Inlet gas.
And where does Cook Inlet gas go?
Yeah, mainly Anchorage, almost all South Central, right? How do you describe this? Well, this is nothing more to me, than the largest region of the state, monopolizing power, you know, to benefit themselves at the expense of everybody else, right? I mean, this is kind of what it is. Keep in mind, we've subsidized cook inlet gas for a long time. I think a tune of $2.5 billion in subsidies. The royalties are already capped. It's something like 12 cents per 1,000 cubic feet. And honestly, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of gas in Cook Inlet, but there's no demand for it, which is, you know, the demand in South Central is declining for it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is not a new problem, not having a large enough demand for gas to meet investment, right? But, you know, when Commissioner Boyle talked about that proposal, too, the other thing that was very concerning is he mentioned the word net profit leases quite a bit, right? And I don't know if you're familiar, you know, there's probably a lot of folks that aren't familiar with the concept of net profit leases. And basically, the state would apply its royalty or its tax on production after the company's deducted all their OPEX and CAPEX, right? And the problem with that kind of mentality at the state level is, you know, we see this with the Willow Project on the slope. Like, no, not to offend the State Department of Revenue, but the department does not possess the material, intellectual ability to calculate these complex, you know, schemes.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have the ability to do it. So the analogy I give folks is these big corporations play chess. They're very good. They're Bobby Fischer, you know, Garry Kasparov, that's all they have. And we are the guy who played checkers twice, and he is at
never
the chess table.
Never right? at the table.
Ready to play. And you get beat, and you should expect to get beat, right? So
the question is, how bad are you going to get beat?
Well, yeah. I mean, so the solution here with these types of things is just to not play the game, right? I mean, you know, and the way you do that is you develop a simplified taxation and royalty scheme that you basically can't, you know, weasel your way out of, or you know, that's simpler economically viable, right? So that's like a gross production type of thing, you know, where you just calculate that type of stuff, and it's very simple. But you know, in the overall concept of you know, cook inlet subsidies, that's not the solution for the energy crisis in the state. It's not the solution for the interior, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we buy very little gas. So we do buy gas, you know, power from Cook Inlet, but it's fractional compared to, you know, at the end. And keep in mind, you know, the greatest kind of travesty in this is IGU, you know, just signed a long-term contract with LNG for Harvest that comes from the North Slope. And North Slope gas is full of royalty gas, just mm-hmm. to let you know, right? So now
we're paying the royalty on it.
Yeah, so now basically our residents who, you know, are desperate to get natural gas are going to be told by the state that, you know, what we need to do is for some reason pay full royalty gas when our counterparts in Anchorage don't have pay no royalty gas. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, you know. So my hope is that'll kind of be leveraged into a larger conversation, you know, about the gas shortage and what are we going to do about it? What are we actually going to do about it? Are we going to import LNG from Canada? Is that what we're going to do? Or are we going to actually, you know, do something like build an in-state line to meet domestic needs? Mainly because the export line doesn't seem super feasible. So,
you know, I remember in June 21st, 1977,
mm-hmm.
I was working as a laborer for Houston Contracting at Pump Station 1. We turned on the pipeline. And they were starting to lay people off. And they said, don't worry, we'll all be back in 6 months to build the gas line.
Yeah, I mean,
that was 45 years ago.
Yeah, so, okay, what is the problem with the gas line, the export line? What is the problem with the export line?
Your markets aren't buying it.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially it, right?
Yeah, it's too expensive to get to them.
Yeah, so our market for Alaska gas, there's really one place, and that's Asia, mm-hmm. you know. So that's Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, Philippines, those types of folks. Those are kind of the prime consumer for our gas. Reason being is everywhere else has tons of gas. The lower 48 is swimming in gas, right? South America needs gas, but Texas is way closer, right? So,
yep.
you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so our main thing is, okay, Asia, South China Sea, China's aggressive, Russia nationalized Sakhalin 2, was the largest LNG facility in the entire planet, right? And they expropriated these companies' assets. So what does that mean? So these big Japanese companies, Mitsui, they're called Karatsus, right? So Mitsui, Sumitomo, Tokyo Gas, they were the majority owners of the Sakhalin 2 gas facilities and LNG facilities on Sakhalin Island. Well, the Russian government, after it invaded Ukraine, you know, nationalized the Sakhalin 2 facility, expropriated all the assets, and kicked the companies out, right? So basically,
it's like Venezuela did.
Yeah, Venezuela did, right? So that kind of opened this window for Alaska LNG through Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation to export gas, right? So, hey, all of a sudden, the people who need to buy gas got their investment stolen, right, mm-hmm. basically, and now they got to find, you know, a new supplier who ideally won't steal their investment, right? And that would be Alaska, right? So there was a lot of optimism, a lot of talk, right? But then, you know, if you're an astute person, you're reading kind of like the Energy Magazine, or you just look at a news articles and you can do a quick Google search, you will find that over the course of this year, these Japanese companies that we need have been inking deals in Qatar and Indonesia and making billion-dollar investments in New Guinea and building LNG export facilities in Indonesia, you know, and negotiating with Qatar and Oman to build gas facilities there. So, you know, a wise person is going to infer that they have found their new supply of gas, right? And nowhere does it say that they will be purchasing our gas, right? You know, and when you couple that with, you know, the AGDC's presentation to House Finance, which I don't think I'll ever be able to get over, right, of how appalling it was. You know, I had Nick
Seismoniak. Had to check yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, it was outrageous, right? I had Nick Seismoniak come to the House Finance table, and he said, on the gas line development project, the export line, he said, I'm going to quote him, that this project has the best economics on the North American continent.
Okay. Sorry for laughing. I only laugh when it's painful.
Well, I mean, you know, so the claim is the project is the greatest project on the entire continent, and no one wants to invest in it. So I don't even, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, this is an unserious person, right? And I hope you're listening, Nick, yeah. You know? Unserious person, right? And how on earth are you going to get a job as monumental as getting mega billion-dollar investments in our line? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is...
So basically, your thought is you have a windfall of royalty coming in this year.
Yeah, we do for high oil prices, yeah. Right?
So the question is, economically speaking, and my politics is based on economics.
Yeah.
Are you going to spend the windfall on something for the entire state to relieve, say, you know, an in-state gas line to relieve for Anchorage, for Fairbanks,
yeah,
for the railabout system, or are you going to do something and just piece it all out and have nothing lasting?
Yeah, import LNG, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, the honest answer is the wise concept would be, okay, well, if Alaska can fix its energy problems, you know, if we can have cheap energy, mm-hmm. right, then the rest of our economic sector starts to develop itself, right? So, you know, a lot of these folks, they went to Iceland for the big energy conference, and the big takeaway they got from Iceland is, you know, Iceland has cheap energy, and they have these huge consumers of energy that produce stuff like aluminum steel mills and stuff like that, mm-hmm. okay? And that's the whole economy of scale ingredient, all right? So when people talk about diversifying Alaska's economy, we can never achieve that when we are paying 26 cents a kilowatt power and running diesel. We will never achieve that because the cost of investment is astronomical, right? So this is what I mean when I talk about cheap energy, right? So when
and here's the Biden administration and Deb Haaland shutting down places in Alaska, yet they're increasing oil production for Venezuela.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Are you? This is what you're doing. This is what they're doing. And the only reason I bring it up because this affects state of Alaska's economics.
Yeah, so you know, I always talk about like trying to articulate a positive vision. And I will reiterate again, where are we going, Alaska? Because mm-hmm. if we don't take action and we don't make big investment, right, we are not going to a good place, right? I bought heating fuel the other day. It was $4.82 a gallon, and I bought 600 gallons, right? That is an insane amount of money, right?
Yeah, $2,500 right there.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to do that again, right, before the end of the winter, right? So not only that, but the electric rates, the increases through GVA are astronomical as well, right? So when your utility bills are having a massive cost, and we, you know, now apply that to scale to a facility like you know, like Costco's building or something like that, or a commercial building, right? When you scale that to an economic size, or even with the school district that we talked a little bit
about
earlier about, I mean, the think of the economics of heating and powering those buildings based on the increases that we've seen, right? So my, you know, my opinion would be, okay, we need to take kind of bold action, and we need to ensure that we have a long-term vision to fix these problems. And if that means we have to focus on domestic use of our own gas to stabilize our energy and allow for economic investment in the state, then that's what we should do, right? Because if we don't do that, we're going to have this influx of cash. We're going to spend it all. People are going to spend it all mainly on things that don't matter, to be quite honest, you know?
Yeah.
And then we'll have
one-time
no
shot to get them reelected.
Yeah, and then we'll have no money, and then we'll have mass out-migration, and then higher prices, and it won't be very fun, you know. So,
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You listen to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And I guess I'm doing well enough now because Melissa Burnett is not in here overseeing my operation. She left me alone with Will Stapp, the North Korean equipment, and the purple padded room. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Kim Driftmeyer, fellowship-trained spine surgeon at McKinley Orthopedics, Sports Medicine, and Spine. After serving our country for 14 years in the United States Air Force, I am proud to practice spine care here in Fairbanks, Alaska. If neck and back pain are bothering you, or you suffer from sciatica, come into McKinley Orthopedics on Geist Road. Myself and the spine team here can help you discuss both non-surgical and surgical options. We are also happy to see urgent issues as well that require no appointment. We are open Monday through Saturday until 8 p.m. McKinleyOrtho.com.
Ho, ho, ho! Santa's elves have been busy, and they're ready to help you get a big jump on your holiday shopping next weekend at the Holiday Marketplace. There'll be over 175 mini specialty shops with one-of-a-kind gifts, beaded earrings, gorgeous stained glass, head-to-toe fur, and so much more. With so many items and vendors, there's bound to be something for everyone on your list. So come on out to the Holiday Marketplace next weekend at the Carlson Center, Friday noon to 7, 10 to 6 on Saturday, and 11 to 5 on Sunday. Ho, 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 ho! The Holiday Marketplace, sponsored by The Radio Station.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with highs around 30. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Chance for snow. Lows level off around 20. Chance for snow again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 28. Chance for snow Friday and Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And I spoke out of turn because guess who's back in the studio with me for supervision?
Oh, you, man. You call me out, I have to come back in.
I'm not listening. You left me alone in a room with Will Stapp.
I did.
North Korean equipment in a purple padded room.
And then you called me out, so I came back in.
That's upper management. Mr. Stapp, you got a few more minutes with us left with this. Now, your season starts with the second Tuesday in January.
Yep.
What are you looking at for legislative priorities on your behalf this year?
Yeah, we have an absolutely massive amount of things that we're going to try to get done. So for starters, there's the little boring things I tell folks, like the legislative fixes, the Military Affairs Commission, the LSC bill, you know, kind of the nuts and bolts things that nobody really cares about but actually impact their lives in a positive way. So there's tons of those types of things we're doing. We're going to be taking a good crack at DPA, Division of Public Assistance, to try to kind of do a permanent fix for that. You know, we had one snap backlog they cleared, and they created another snap backlog. And to be honest, like when you look at the history of these types of services that the state's providing that are paid for by the federal government, this isn't like a new thing, right? The state has struggled with software systems and personnel. And a lot of that is department allocation of things that they are being asked to do that I don't know why they would be doing. So I'll give you a perfect example. A child care facility for their license, right? So they got to renew their license, they got to get it inspected. So what state department do you think child care licensing is under?
Oh, good question.
What department? I think Health and Social Services.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
But it's not, right?
Department of Revenue, Licensing and Business Occupation?
It could be there. It's actually under the Department of Public Assistance, DPA, right? So the problem.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the department that has all the problems, there? Right, is also supposed to be in charge of child care facility license. Exactly, right? It shouldn't be there, right?
No.
It should be in Family Community Services or Occupational Licensing, Business, Labor, and Commerce. That's where it should be. So there's a lot of those types of things. That we, you know, we're going to look at doing to fix, you know, and then not have these problems anymore. So I tell folks last year, you know, when I talked about the state of the Department of Public Assistance, SNAP backlog, all that, I called it a dumpster fire. It was, right? I don't like burning dumpster fires. They look bad and they smell bad, right? So
they catch other things on fire.
Yeah, exactly, right? So we will fix this problem, right? Last year, you know, we did a huge amount of funding. We gave them basically everything they wanted, right? So this year, it's kind of results time. And
that's
what
you did.
Exactly. So you got everything you needed. And, you know, my solution basically is I look at the department, I say, okay, well, you have to do less things in order to be more productive with the things that you're failing at doing, right? And this is kind of a typical problem with government where all these functions, everyone wants them to do more. And when you have a department that is failing in core function, asking them to do more is insane, right?
Yeah.
And giving them more money.
Yeah, to do more things. So we're not going to do that. We're going to look at scaling back some of their operations so they can focus on core function until they get it right, right? So.
Sounds good. Now get out of here.
Yeah.
you're the hardest working guy. You got something else to do.
He's got to go save the day. That's what he's got to go do.
I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Will Stapp,
now,
for
get
everything
out of
you
here.
Do.
You get out of my purple padded room. You're leaving me alone with rock candy.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
You know, hey, I was in the Vampire Lounge yesterday.
That's pretty legit.
That was good.
Yeah, it was really good. I was really impressed by the guys who scared the bejesus out of me that were hiding in the closets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even expect them to be there. And the one goes, "Happy Halloween." And I went, "Oh, my goodness."
We have a phone call we're going to take.
Oh, sweet.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning. My name is Kaya.
Hello, Kaya.
I spoke with you last week. I was just checking to see if you ever found out what those containers were doing.
Not yet. I'm going to be over there today.
Oh.
Because I've been saving it. Call me on Friday.
Are we talking about the ones by Holiday?
Yeah. Do you know what they are?
No, but I have a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, oh, God. I'm going over there today. I'm putting together a lunch for all my coworkers tomorrow. So I'm going to go buy my meat over at Costco. So I'm going to be on that side of town, and I was going to take a look at them. So call me on Friday, and I will have my thoughts and maybe some answers for you.
Yeah, I already have my container picked out.
You must have a brain like mine.
Okay, so I have to ask a question to Rock Candy, or what's your conspiracy theory answer?
I have a couple of them. One of them is actually I heard that it was probably like some housing for the truckers. I'd actually heard that. That's actually a rumor that's going around. But my conspiracy, my husband goes, "Yep, there's our camp." That's what he said. So I don't know what it is. I'm curious. Well, I'd like to know.
What I'll also do is I'll go over to the building department, see if they have any building permits on it.
Yeah. Well, I noticed there's a crane attached to one of the buildings the other day as well. So, like, that's weird. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Kaya, I will have your answer, what I think, on Friday.
It's either going to be that conspiracy or it's going to be for the truckers.
Yeah.
But if it's not for the truckers, oh, boy.
Then what is it?
Who would live in something like that? You have a great morning. Thank you for the phone call, and call in on Friday, okay?
I will. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kaya.
I am curious on what that is over there, on what's going on.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they're a bunch of connexes, a bunch of apartment-like looking connexes, like you would see on a job or something.
Alberta Transportation Company housing units?
Yeah.
ATCOs?
Yeah, ATCOs. There you go. That's exactly what it looks like, ATCO units, and tons of them. But then yesterday I saw there was like a crane on one of them or near one of them, or I don't know. I just briefly looked, and we joke about it all the time, right? It's because it's funny to laugh about, like, what could it possibly be? And to watch the conspiracies go crazy is amazing, and it's like, really?
We have another phone call.
Oh, maybe they know.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Oh, my name's John.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
So the crane hooked to the, is that behind the brown jug you're talking about?
Yeah.
Those are what we live in on the slope when we make all the ice roads or we go do exploration for ConocoPhillips.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like ATCOs.
That's right. We live in those.
Okay. But, like, are you living in those ones that are right there behind the brown jug?
I think those are going up for ConocoPhillips.
Oh, is it like just like a storage?
Yeah, okay.
That could make sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's basically like you had a pipe yard in the 70s.
Well, there's a big job. My husband's a
pipe
fitter.
There's five big jobs on three gas lines.
Yeah, they need hundreds of employees, so that would make sense.
You the man, you got it. We got good listeners. We're ruined what?
Ruined the conspiracy theory and the laugh behind it.
There's always conspiracy theories. You the man, John. You take care, buddy. Appreciate it.
We need thousands of people up there. Thousands.
Yes. Thousands. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, you take care, buddy. Bye.
Well, that makes sense. They're ATCOs for the ConocoPhillips job. That makes absolute sense. Staging, getting them ready to go up and whatnot. Yeah. Total sense.
It does.
But, you know, it's just funny with all the stuff that's going on in the world and all the, like, I don't know, the deployment.
Hey, thank you, Kaya. Yeah, she's seeing what's going on out there. Yeah. What's going on?
Kaya and I, that she's like my spirit animal, man. We were on the same wavelength there.
Yeah. You were looking for ghost pastures.
I was. Just because it's fun.
So you got this bejesus scared out of you.
I did last night, yes. They were good. Kudos to all your employees yesterday. Yeah. I totally got I thought I was going to pee my pants. That's...
you know, in the Vampire Lounge, you know, we didn't bring out a second helping, but we had these IVs filled with cherry Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Little IVs, for blood. And all of a sudden, everyone starts coming in and, like, we don't have time to keep up with this.
No.
We did the 50 and, like, we don't have time to refill these things.
It's amazing, though. It was you guys did a really great job. I think that's the best one yet. Like, seriously, the best one to date. That was just amazing. You guys all did a great job. Your staff all did a great job. They really got into it. Crystal Tidwell showed up. Yeah. Sue Sprinkle was there. You know, there was all. Grier Hopkins was there. Yeah. All kinds of people showed up. And
Perry Wally
came with
his wife.
Yep. And their little ones?
Yeah.
Was Jack still in the Scarecrow, or did he change?
No, he's in the Scarecrow.
He was having a heyday in
and
that
the princess,
costume.
The princess. Yeah. Oh, yep. My goodness. You know, and the thing about it was, what you saw were smiles and happiness and laughter.
Yes. It was just great.
And awe and wonder.
Yeah. It's my favorite. Halloween is probably one of my favorites, just because to see the enjoyment that comes from these kids.
And the costumes that they had.
Yeah, like, amazing. Wow.
There are some costumes there.
Oh, yeah. You know, the homemade
rocket,
ones.
Yeah, the rocket kid, you know,
Oh, he was legit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, and all these little Tyrannosaurus Rexes with the small little front.
There was a Optimus Prime who was in the neighborhood of Riverview, and his costume like had this little like thing that he pulled, and it would turn him either into the truck or into Optimus Prime. It was legit. Like, this kid's costume. Whoever his parents are, like...
Engineers.
Engineers. Have to be engineers. Yeah. But, like, best parents ever.
we're all done yesterday, and we're all... Beat, dead, tired, knocked out. This was a lot of work.
Yeah.
3 hours straight.
That's a lot.
And what you're doing, you're interacting, you're giving out the candy, you're shuffling here, you're playing your part. And I mean, we're all this punch drunk this morning. I don't drink coffee during the week. But I get there at, 7:45 to start cleanup, and I need a pot of coffee.
You're like, I need some coffee.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
How's the cleanup afterwards?
Well, the coffins are being removed right now.
Yeah. You know what's really cool? My daughter, she was. I was telling her the story about the city hall, mm-hmm. and that it used to be the high school that her grandpa went to, and she was like, "This was not a high school." Yeah, honey, that was the high school your grandpa graduated from.
Yeah.
And she was like, wow.
And I went to school from there.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, the mayor graduated from there, too.
Fairbanks, thank you for listening. I will see you on Friday. And upper management got me through this day. Thank you.
You're welcome.